Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome you to Christ our King this evening for our Good Friday Tenebrae service. A special welcome to our guests who are here. We are glad to be together on this most holy of days. Just a reminder, if you haven't done so already, if you could take a moment to sign in on the red fellowship pads on the inside chair of each row, just so that we might acknowledge your presence with us today. And we're glad that you're here. We take this time to focus on God's Word, and I'd like to take this opportunity to read a couple verses with you. So would you please join me in rereading these verses? And he went out, bearing his own cross, to the place called the place of a skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him. Well, we have journeyed to the conclusion of another season of Lent, the conclusion of another Holy Week, just about another Good Friday. These journeys for us are now likely well-worn paths, having made this trip many times before. And yet, each time we come again to the crucifixion, to the foot of the cross, to the moment where Jesus breathes his last, we stop and think about it and find that nothing can truly prepare us to see all that Jesus did, all that he accomplished, all that he was willing to give up for our sake. In fact, there is no limit to the number of paths that we might take as we explore the deep and rich mysteries of the cross. Each Good Friday is yet another opportunity to wonder and to contemplate and to give thanks to God. So today I invite you to journey with me on one more of those paths as we spend some time this evening considering the location where Jesus died, the name of the place that has become synonymous with his death, the place called Golgotha. John tells us in his gospel, from our gospel reading, that Golgotha is known as the place of a skull. Calvary is the Latin word for skull. In Aramaic, it's Golgotha. But where does that word come from? We see this is where our journey is going to get interesting. The word comes from the Hebrew verb galal, which means to roll away. The word galal, for instance, gets used in Genesis when shepherds roll away a stone from the mouth of a well, or in Joshua when they roll away rocks that cover the opening of a cave. You see, galal refers to the rolling away, particularly of rounded things, but it can also refer to the rounded things themselves. That's why the Hebrew word Golgoleth refers to the round thing on top of your body, the skull. Golgoleth in Hebrew, Golgotha in Aramaic, or as we would say, the place of a skull. But the most interesting moment this word galal is used in the Old Testament is the time when the Israelites had just crossed the Jordan River and they made camp at a place called Gilgal, a play on that same word. If you remember, the Israelites had just finished wandering in the wilderness for 40 years after having been saved from their existence as slaves in Egypt, and I think most of the time, I don't know about you, but as I picture the Israelites approaching the walls of Jericho, that first Canaanite city that would fall during their impending conquest, I often picture them as proud and strong people, brimming with confidence. But I wonder if that's accurate. After all, they would have been a harried group by this time. Their own sin and disobedience to the Lord was the thing that caused them to wander for half a lifetime. The original generation that had been set free from Egypt turned away from God and were barred from ever entering the Promised Land. This group that was now camped at Gilgal was the next generation, a generation of people that had subsisted only on manna and quail and water provided by God's hand. They were lean and battle-worn, and they lacked rest. The stink of slavery and sin and their parents' sin still clung to them. They longed for a chance to stop their wandering, stop their struggling, and simply be at peace. And that time would come by the Lord's merciful hand, but it was not yet. Led by Joshua, they would first need to drive out the Canaanites. And so as they prepared for this, they camped for the first time in the Promised Land on the plains of Jericho. And God invited them to be renewed in his covenant and be renewed in his promises, long-standing promises going all the way back to Abraham that were about to be fulfilled before their very eyes. And so God had them renew the covenant of circumcision. And they also celebrated their first Passover in the new land, that great feast that commemorated God's liberation and salvation for them from Egypt. And this is where the word galal comes into play. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away, I have galal, the reproach of Egypt from you." And so the name of that place is Gilgal, again from the word galal, to this day. The people had been renewed in God's promises, and all their sin, death, and slavery was literally and figuratively rolled away for good. Which brings us back to Golgotha and what we see taking place there. In many old paintings of the crucifixion of Jesus, you'll often find something interesting at the foot of the cross. You'll often see a skull painted there. Now, some people assume that this is a nod to the name of the place, Golgotha, the place of a skull. But actually, church history tells us the reason for this. The skull depicted there, oftentimes, it's not just a random skull, but it's rather one that belongs to someone specific. The ancient church considered Golgotha to be the burial place of Adam, as in Adam and Eve. They believed that Adam's bones had been transferred from Noah to Melchizedek, that priest of the ancient city of Salem, where Melchizedek then laid them to rest. Salem, of course, becomes Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the place of Golgotha. Therefore, it was believed that Jesus would have been crucified over the very bones of Adam himself. Now, whether this is true or not, we don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us that. But what the Bible does say is this: sin came into the world through one man, Adam, and death through sin. And so death spread to all mankind because all sinned. Sin entered into this world through our first father, Adam, and the results of that sin, which is death. So whether Jesus was crucified over the literal bones of Adam or not, what is indisputable is that when Jesus was raised up on that cross, he was raised up and could look out and he could see all the effects of our sin and our parents' sin and each generation's sin all the way back to Adam and Eve. And so as we come here today, once again to the foot of the cross at Golgotha, the place of a skull, what we realize is that we approach the cross not all that different from those Israelites stumbling out of the desert. We also are a harried group. After all, each of us can think about the numerous sins that have caused us to unnecessarily wander in our lifetime. The sins that caused Jesus to have to bear the burden of the cross for us. And in our lives, our sin can beat us down, can discourage us, can make us feel ashamed. We feel the effects of sin and death at all times, and it leaves us feeling lean and battle-worn and lacking rest. The stink of our slavery to sin and our own sin and our parents' sin still clings to us, and at times we just long for a chance to stop our wandering, stop our struggling, and simply be at peace. But what God did for the Israelites at Gilgal, that is rolling away the reproach of sin and death, he does for us and for the whole world at the new Gilgal, at Golgotha. God says through the Apostle Paul in Romans, "Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men." God intends for us to see Adam, the one who ate from the tree and that brought death to all mankind, to see him buried under the tree of Jesus Christ, who is the second Adam. But not so that the first Adam stays buried and dead, rather that he and we, by the second Adam, receive justification, receive righteousness and life from the cross. For as in Adam all die, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. At Gilgal, God took all the sins of the Israelites, all their disobedience, the reproach of Egypt itself, and he told his people, "Today I have rolled it away." Likewise, at Golgotha, God took all our sin, all our evil, all the reproach of death that we carry in our sinful bodies, and he tells us, "Here at the cross, I have rolled it all away." And Jesus bowed his head and gave up his spirit and said, "It is finished." The battle is won for us before we are ever called upon to fight. Not that we could, anyway. We needed one to fight for us. We are like the Israelites camping outside the walls of Jericho, who needed only to trust in God's promise that he would fight for them and win the victory for them. And he did. And he does for us as well. The victory that Jesus won over sin and death for us at the cross is placed into our hands as a free gift. Our sin and death have been rolled away by Jesus' sinless sacrifice. And so what began in Genesis with Adam and what continued with Joshua and the Israelites is now finished here by Jesus at the cross, at Golgotha. Our reproach has been galal, has been rolled away. And then what happens next? Well, as we know, John's gospel goes on to tell us that there in Golgotha was a garden, and in that garden, a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. Our Savior allows his lifeless body to be taken down from the cross and laid in the grave for 3 days. And a large stone was rolled in front to seal him in the tomb. And as we finish traveling this Good Friday path, we wonder anew, what will happen with that large stone? We who have been renewed in the Lord now ask with great anticipation, is the one who was able to roll away the reproach of sin and death for me able to do the same for himself? Well, we know that the answer to that question will be answered quite powerfully when we come to Easter morning, when we see the bright light of our Savior who holds the power of life over death, that light shine forth that it could not be held back, when that stone which attempted to seal the one who conquers death could not resist him, and it too will be galal, it too will be rolled away. But that's still yet to come. For now, we've concluded our journey back to the cross, and we take this time, this evening, to meditate on the one who dies at the place of a skull, Adam's skull, and the skull of all of Adam's children. But Golgotha is the new Gilgal, and we give thanks to God that by the power of his mercy and love through the death of our Savior Jesus Christ, he has rolled away the reproach of his people, rolled away our sin and shame and death, and has renewed us in his covenant of freedom, forgiveness, and eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.